Lord Jesus, glory, glory to you, glory to your name. You are truly the first and the last. You are God, the everlasting God, from everlasting to everlasting, and we worship you. Let your presence be sensed in this message, Lord. All who listen would know more about you and be drawn closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can subscribe to these booths if you're interested. These podcasts at iTunes in the search query. And put Michael Ryan's B-O-O-S. I'm going to be in Revelation chapter 1. Beginning in verse 4. Revelations written by John, if you didn't know, and they think it was written in approximately 90 AD. It was written on the island of Patmos. John was incidentally the only disciple who was not martyred, the only apostle who was not killed. He was sent in exile to Patmos, and he wrote this. It was a revelation from an angel that was showing him the things to come. At that time, there was a lot of unrest and persecution in the church. And this letter of Revelation, though for many people it's scary and it's about judgment and frightening things, it really is a letter of encouragement that God is on a throne. And indeed he is. He really is on the throne. And I pray he's on the throne in your heart right now. I pray that Jesus Christ is pulling the strings inside of you at this very moment. And if he isn't, will you let him? Please, will you let him? He's good. He really is. Let's start in verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Well, John's going to be writing to seven churches, as you'll see in the upcoming chapters 2 and 3. And I think that's good food, too, for you to see how Jesus feels about certain behaviors and certain deeds. And it's a good way to know more about your master and what he approves of and what he disapproves of. So John is going to be writing to these seven churches. And he's wishing him a greeting, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come. Amen. That's a good way to put it. He's everything. Jesus Christ is everything. And he is your everything. He must be. Because if you've trusted in the gospel, and if you have believed that your sins were taking you to hell, but Jesus Christ took you from that upcoming punishment by his death, well, then Jesus Christ is your everything. You live because he lives. Amen. I would think that he ought to get the first place in all our hearts, and we should prioritize giving him worship, as we'll see coming up here. But from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Well, he is the faithful witness. He is the witness of the Father. He testified to the will of the Father. And what did he say the will of the Father was? Well, to honor the Son. The will of the Father is that the Son gets all the glory, all the honor. You know, you're making God the Father happy when you give all the glory and honor to Jesus Christ. It says that in Jesus, it's all the fullness of the deity dwells. And it pleases God. It says all this in Colossians chapter 1, by the way. But it pleased God that in Jesus Christ, he would have first place. That he would have preeminence. And I would invite you to give him first place in your life today. And then when you get up in the morning tomorrow, again the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and so on, all day. Let Jesus Christ have first place. We'll continue on. The firstborn of the dead, and he indeed is the firstborn of the dead. And guess who is going to come after that? You and me. Do you know that you're not going to die? Do you understand that you won't taste death? That your heart stopping and your brain stopping is merely a doorway, an entry into face-to-face contact with Jesus Christ, your Messiah, who's been keeping you since you've been saved. And at the end of the days, we will get new bodies, new spiritual bodies. And the first person to have this spiritual body that we're talking about is Jesus Christ. That's why it says he's the firstborn of the dead. He's the firstborn of this new kind of people with spiritual bodies. And we will get that. Bodies that we can't sin. We can't sin at all. It talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I encourage you to read it and check it out. That we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll get our new bodies. And it's not, you know, it sounds like a fairy tale sometimes if you just say it real quick. But it's really true. Jesus Christ, when he came back resurrected, he had the spiritual body. And I look forward to it, really. You're not struggling with temptation anymore. We are going to be perfectly like him. We won't be him. We're not going to be deity. We're going to be us. We're going to be his bride. We're going to be his people. We're going to be in his kingdom, serving and worshiping him. Because he is, and he alone is God. But we will be like him, and we will be sinless. We will be sinless. Amen. So he's the firstborn of that, and we get to enter in. And he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. You know, all the presidents, all the leaders, Jesus runs them. They may not know that, but Jesus Christ is the king of Barack Obama, whether he believes it or not. He's the king of all the leaders and the world leaders around the earth. I mean, he is. And it's important to realize that. And that's why I'm not going to talk about politics. I just think as believers, we just ought to be praying for people in office and just praying that God's way will be done. You know, and just realizing in Romans 13, as it says, that he has control. He appoints all the leaders, and we just simply obey what the leaders have to say and just give glory to Jesus. That's really it. They're put there by God. He is the ruler of all the kings of the earth. And it goes on to say, to him who loves us, and I like this, and released us from our sins by his blood. Amen. You were released. You were released. I really don't think we'll understand. Maybe we don't even want to. But I don't think we'll ever understand the extent of the torment and the judgment that was facing us. And maybe we'll get a taste of it on the end days, and we see the right throne. We see the throne of judgment, as it describes in Revelation, I believe, chapter 21, where the whole creation is lined up before God, and he's opening up a book, and it says that just he's just sitting on a throne, and oh man, just in his glory, and he's going to be judging everyone. Everyone's going to see and know. He's going to open up his book, and if your name is not found in the book of life, you will be thrown into the fire. And I think, I mean, there's going to be so much crying and just fear and pain and suffering. I mean, remember, he's going to wipe that all away for us who believe. But we were released from that. Our sins X us out of the book of life. Your sins took you out. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been released from the wrath to come. You've been pardoned. You've been spared from judgment. I mean, that is such an... That's good in of itself, isn't it? And it gets better. It gets better. Let's go on. He released us from our sins by his blood. Again, his blood, which I talked about before in other podcasts, is what washes us of our sins. It's what cleanses us. And it's also what starts up this new covenant, this new relationship, this new existence we have with God, and a new system of interacting with our Lord, started by the blood of Jesus. It's called the New Covenant. And let's see more about it. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are a kingdom of priests. Do you know that? You know, I see that in different faiths they have priests. Father this and Father that. But there's only one Father. There is only one Father. And there are many priests. Anyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ is a priest. Do you know why? Because a priest in the Old Testament was someone who had access, direct access to God. They were the only one who had direct access to God. The people had to go through the priest. They would bring their offerings to the priest, and he would bring them to God, and God would forgive them through the work of the priest. Which is why Jesus Christ, as it states in Hebrews, I believe chapter 4, he's our high priest. He is the offering, and he presents the offering himself to God, which is why his resurrection was so important, to signify that our sins were indeed forgiven, because it's his resurrection which allowed him to bring himself, present himself up to God the Father, to show that his work was finished. But we are priests because we have direct access to God. But what do you mean? Well, if you believe in the gospel, and if you've been released from your sins, and you've been born again, the Spirit of Jesus has come to live in you. And Jesus, we know, is God. He forgave sins, he worshipped, he said he was God. He said that him and the Father are one. He said before Abraham was, I am. He said I am the good shepherd. He says that he and the Father are working together. He and the Father are equal. I mean, he said it in more ways than one, that he is God, and God is living in you. God is living in you. That means you have direct access to him. Direct access. And I like that it mentions here that we are priests, because it's good to know that we don't need to go to anybody to get access to God. If you believe in Jesus, you have access to God because he lives in you. You carry him in you. You are a walking vessel of God. You are a walking Ark of the Covenant. In the Old Testament, nations walked with the Ark of the Covenant, which is where was the dwelling place of God. For we are the dwelling place of God. You are the dwelling place of God. That's why you're a priest. And there's something you should know about priests, is that we have the right to enter into his tabernacle and praise and worship him and see him directly. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. There goes that word priesthood again. Priests, we are priests, people. Please know that. You are a priest if you believe in Jesus Christ. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We should be offering up sacrifices continually to the Lord. Acceptable sacrifices. And we know from Hebrews chapter 13 that praising God is an acceptable sacrifice. I believe that as priests, we ought to be worshiping the Lord and praying to him all day long. And that's good for us. Amen. That's good for us because we are the intercessors. Priests intercede on behalf of the people. And that's what Jesus does for you and I. It says in 1 John that he's advocating for us in heaven because he is our high priest. And we ought to advocate for one another. We ought to be praying for one another. We ought to be praying for people in the world and advocating for them and interceding. And we are the presence. Well, the presence of God lives in us, and God shows his love through us. We are God's physical body on this planet. We are the walking, talking Jesus Christ on this planet, when people see you and you're filled with the presence of God, they're really seeing God. And I'm not, don't run crazy with it. I'm saying to you that you carry the Lord in you. He lives in you and dwells in you. And so when you're loving on someone, that's God loving them through you. You are a priest. Yes, you are. You are a priest. And you have direct access to God, and you function as a priest. You worship Him. You offer up sacrifices of praise to Him. You intercede. You have direct contact with Him. I mean, you are a priest of God. It says it here. I'm reading the scriptures. It says it here. It says it in 1 Peter. It says it in 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verses 5. And it says it again in verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." So, and check this out. I'll give you more insight specifically to what a priest does. "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him." Your job is to proclaim the excellency of Jesus Christ. When's the last time you've proclaimed the excellency of Jesus Christ? Did you know that God's called you to do that? And He blesses you through that. That's not a question to make you feel guilty. It's a question to really open your eyes to say, hey, there's so much more for you in this walk. He lives in you. And He wants to come out through you. Let Him out of you. Proclaim His excellencies. And it says, proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, you always have a reason to praise God. It continues in verse 10, "For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You see, so you always have a reason to praise Jesus, because you once were having wrath stored upon your head. There was a time where you were one heartbeat away, one jacked up heart attack or something negative to happen to you, from going straight to hell. No mercy for your sins. But because of Jesus, as it says here in Revelation, He rescued you. He released you from that. And He's saved you. And He has come to dwell in you and live in you. And He's made you a priest, a holy nation, a priesthood, that you can offer up sacrifices of worship and praise to Him. And that you proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into the light. This is real stuff. This is real, real stuff. We have a 24/7 job to worship the Lord. And you know what? Guess what we're going to be doing when we go to heaven? Worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. So you are a holy priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are God's possession. Did you know that? When someone messes with you, they got to go through God. You know, people talk about Satan attacking them and He's working on them over time, but the Lord owns you. No one does anything except to go to the Lord. No, you are God's people. You are His holy possession. Anything that comes into your life has been filtered through Him. It says in the Psalms that the angel of the Lord encamps all those who fear Him. And that's you. That's you. So, I just encourage you, exercise your priesthood. Exercise your priesthood. Pray for other people. Be worshiping the Lord and offering sacrifices of praise to Him throughout your day. Start today. I encourage you to do that. I really do. Bless you. Be proclaiming the excellencies of Him. Well, what excellency is that? Well, the fact that He lives in you, but the fact also that He released you from your sins and that He dwells in you. And that He wants to do that in the heart of everyone who opens their heart and believes and accepts Him. Oh Lord, I just thank You and we lift You up. You are our high priest, Jesus Christ. You teach us how to be priests. You always gave honor to the Father. You intercede for us. You sacrifice for us. You love us. And that's what You call us to do for other people. So we praise You in Your glorious and wonderful name. Amen.